This morning for our message is found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. And then got a couple other verses as well. But let's read together in unison Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. May God richly bless his word. You may be seated. You may be seated. Now, if you keep your Bibles open this morning to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll look at one of the most popular chapters in all of Scripture. It is an amazing chapter, and if there were ever to release a special edition of, quote-unquote, the greatest hits of the Bible, there are certain passages that would certainly be included. One of them would be Psalm 23. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, where the Lord is my shepherd. And then another one would be 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the chapter of love, faith, hope, and love. And then there would be Hebrews 11, which I call, and many others call, the Faith Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. I believe that would be there as well. But Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith because that's basically what it is. It is a hall of faith. It is where we see the patriarchs of old, their names being listed as those of men and women of great and unbelievable faith. The author mentions 16 people by name, and how they changed their world and how life was different because of their faith, because of the faith that they exemplified. And he says there are more that could be added on the list. I would even hope to think that maybe your name would be added to that list as well, the Faith Hall of Fame. You know, we think of ourselves as being just ordinary, run-of-the-mill type people. But actually, this chapter is based for those who have the gift of faith, who believe in faith, who are people of faith, people who do great things through faith. But I want you to understand that everyone he mentions, they were normal people. They were everyday people, average human beings. They were all fallible. They were all imperfect. They were all individuals who made mistakes, just like you and I, who get up in the morning every day just like you and I, who goes through life every day just like you and I. And that means that if they were fallible as we are, you know, you and I have the same potential of being added to that list of the Faith Hall of Fame. I'm looking forward someday to meeting those who are part of that list. I know many of them who have gone home to be with their Lord. When you look back at the events in your life, as I do, we probably see a lot of mistakes. I know I see a lot of mistakes that I've made. I see a lot of things that I wish I had done better. I see a lot of things that I wish I would have, if I were to do them all over again, that I'd do them much differently this time. There'd be those who'd be quick to point out that we've made lots of mistakes. I've made lots of mistakes. I have people that could show me and tell me directly that I've made lots of mistakes. You may think at this point that you've made too many mistakes and that you're not capable of great faith or of experiencing faith or living out faith. But when you read Hebrews chapter 11, when I read it, it gives me a greater sense of confidence. When I read about Noah, when I read about Abraham, their names mentioned here. Abraham was a man of great faith, and that faith was credited to him, the Bible says, as righteousness. When I think of Moses, and then I think of me. how dare I put my name up against all these guys who were giants in the faith? How do I fit in? How do you fit in as being people of faith? What does that mean? How do we live out our faith in a world that's really not faith-driven at all? In a world that's actually opposed to faith? I suppose we could be wrong on many fronts, but every person in the hall of faith, every great man and woman of God that's listed here, certainly was just as fallible and just as prone to making all kinds of failures as you and I, and maybe even more so. Here's the overview of chapter 11, of Hebrews chapter 11. It's a great text. The author tells us what faith is, and the author tells us what faith does. Now, it's interesting that nobody knows exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some people think that Paul wrote Hebrews. We don't know exactly. It doesn't really tell us. There's some things about it that I'm inclined to believe that maybe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. But he defines faith, and then he describes faith. He tells us what faith looks like in action. And whenever we think of faith, that's where the rubber hits the road. Faith in action. This weekend over at Soul Fest, the theme was love in action. Love in action. What good is it to have love? What good is it to have faith unless there is some kind of action that comes as a result of it? Unless there's a response to it? And as I think of faith, I think of the fact that, there's a living faith, there's a faith that's active, and there's a faith that's dead. And the dead faith is the faith we want to stay away from because it's really not faith at all. It's really, for many, it's going through the motions. It's being religious without having a relationship with Christ. It's going through the motions without knowing and experiencing for yourself the life-changing message of the gospel. You see, we see here lots about Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Moses and all the people, their names have been mentioned. But the common thing about every one of these names that are mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11 was that they not only had a faith, but their faith was backed up by action. They lived out their faith. Their faith was genuine. Their faith was sincere. Their faith was vital and was active. And just like a writer for a TV drama, it ends this chapter in chapter 11 with a little twist, and we'll get into that in a moment. But I wanted to show you three things about faith here, of what faith can do. There's a song that says, "Faith in God can move a mighty mountain." You ever hear that song? Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. I believe that because I've seen it happen. And there are three things that I'd like you to take home with today about this faith. Number one, that faith is the only way to please God. The only way to please God. You may try to please God through your good works, and you may try to please God by being a good person, and you may try to please God by doing good deeds and everything else, but faith is the only way to please God. Many people ask the question, what does God want from me? What does he require of me? Well, we see what he requires back in the book of Micah, where he says he requires that we love mercy, that we love justice, that we walk humbly with our God. That's the one, I believe that's a very central truth that he refers to, that we want, that he wants of us. But what am I expected to do? There are some things that God wants us to do. Some, if you want to use the term rules, that he wants us to live by. We all know about those, but the question is, what does God want most of us, most from us? What does he ask more than anything else of you and I here today? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us in verse 6 that it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God. You can try to butter up God. You can try to manipulate God, and you can't manipulate God. You can try to persuade God. You can try to impress God. But none of those things work. The only thing that works is that we live by faith and that we come to him by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And that's what God wants most from us. The writer of Hebrews mentions it several times. He lists it over and over again of how important it is that we live by faith. Verse 2, it says, God gave his approval to people in days of old because of their faith. Because of it. Not in spite of it, but because of it. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. We know that story from the Old Testament. Before he was taken, he was approved as one who was pleasing to God. And about Noah, we named our dog after Noah. I got a dog by the name of Noah. not because of this Noah, but we thought it would be a good name because we got our dog on a rainy day and we thought we needed to build an ark, so we called him Noah. And he's a little sheltie, and he's a bark box. But about Noah, he says, by his faith, he condemned us. The rest of the world was made right in God's eyes. We know the story of Noah. And we know how Noah's faith, even though Noah had no clue what was going to happen, he had no idea how it was all going to turn out with the ark, he believed God. And he trusted God no matter what. And so Noah learned that faith is something that pleases God. It pleases him. You see, our God is a God of love. And he wants us to love him, but we can't love him properly without faith, without trusting him. God is also a holy God, and he wants us to obey him, but we cannot obey him properly without faith. God is a God of mercy, and he's merciful from eternity to eternity. He's merciful, and he wants us to know that mercy, but we cannot experience that mercy until we come to him in faith, until we understand what faith is about. You see, faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith in God can calm the raging sea. Faith is the starting point for a relationship with God. It's by grace, through faith, that we come to him. Do you know what I've encountered so much of the time in most churches today? And that is that even among some fellow pastors and colleagues in ministry, God, I believe that there's so many even practical atheists that line our pews every Sunday almost. People who live their lives and they see this material world as all there is. As all there is. And they may go through the motions of religious activity, but they don't really live out that faith-based life. And I'm saying this about myself too, because I get caught in that trap continuously of living by my feelings, of living by my experience, rather than really trusting God. You see, God wants us to live by faith, and that's where our life in Him begins. I'm encouraging you today to put focus on your faith. We don't know about the future, but we know who holds the future, right? We don't know about the things that are to come, but we know who is the one who is in control. You know, we heard someone yesterday talk about how messed up this election cycle is. We don't know about what's going to happen in November, but we know that God is in control. We know that He is sovereign. I'm thankful for that today. And that's the only thing I'm trusting in today, is the fact that our God is sovereign and He knows best for our country, for our nation, and He's got it under control. And so I want to encourage you today, you know, to put your trust in Him if you've never done that before. And to trust Him no matter what. You know, are we willing to trust Him no matter what happens? That's a pretty strong statement. To trust God no matter what happens. To trust Him no matter what happens in my own personal life, in the life of my family, in the life of my church, in the life of my country. You see, that's how we please God, by putting our trust, our faith in Him. Faith is the only way to please God. The second thing we see here is that God responds to our faith. When we trust Him, and when we put our faith in Him, when we allow Him to be on the captain's chair, if you will, to be in control, He responds to that. And He does so affirmatively. He does so positively. He does so in an amazing way. And it's an important principle for us to remember as believers, because oftentimes we don't think of it in this way. God doesn't respond to our needs. He doesn't respond to our wants. He doesn't respond to our wishes. He responds to our faith. He responds to that. When two blind men came to Jesus and asked to be healed, back in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said this. He said, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." And He says the same thing to you and I today. According to your faith, it will be done to you. God responds to our faith. No, let no one else persuade you otherwise. There are some today maybe facing a difficult situation. Some about to make a decision or trying to decide what's best for yourself, for your family, for individuals around you. Maybe it has to do with money, or maybe it has to do with relationships, or maybe it has to do with your health, but you're up against it. And you may not know which direction to go. And you need God to intervene. Do you know what will get His attention? Or more accurately, I should say, do you know what will ignite God's action? It's your faith. It's your trust in Him. It's how you really want to allow Him to take control of your situation. You see, your whining is not going to do it. Your complaining is not going to do it. None of those things are going to do it. It's your faith. It's what will ignite God into action. According to your faith, it will be done to you. It will be done for you. And that applies individually, and it applies as a church. It applies right across the board, no matter what. God responds to your faith. He rewards it. When we seek Him, He goes to work in our lives. And He'll bring about great blessing when we put our trust in Him. You see, faith is not a dead faith. Faith is not something that's an intellectual mentality. Faith is action-oriented. Faith is taking the initiative. Faith is allowing God to work through us. Faith is putting ourselves in the hands of Almighty God. It's allowing Him, it's responding to what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And if we're to be people of action, people of faith, we need to look at it in that perspective. The third thing is this, that even with all the faith in the world, you wouldn't get everything in the world when we live by faith. Some people think that faith is like a slot machine. It's like a slot machine, or even better, a guaranteed investment program. That when you invest, it's like that. When you put in A, you always get back B, but it doesn't work that way. In fact, if you listen to what the writer of Hebrews says, he's talked about the great faith of Noah. He's talked about the great faith of Abraham and Moses, the people of Israel and the prophets, and those whose faith was so great they were willing to endure beatings. They were willing to endure humiliation. They were willing to endure prison in order to stay faithful to God. But look at what the writer of Hebrews says in the last two verses of chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. This is what it says. And it summarizes all those names, all those 16 names of people who live by faith. It says, all these people have been mentioned, received God's approval because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had far better things in mind for us that would also benefit them. For they can't receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. No matter how great your faith is, no matter how awesome it is, there are some things that aren't going to happen until God's timing comes together. Until His timing is. It's not a question of what you deserve or what He wants to give you or how much He loves you. It's a question of when is the appropriate time sometimes. That's something that needs to be kept in mind. Writer begins this chapter by asking this question in verse 1. What is faith? What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. That's what faith is. That's probably the best definition of faith ever written and ever communicated. Let me tell you something about great faith. Great faith isn't faith that gets quick results. Great faith is faith that's willing to wait for future results. A great faith, a mighty faith, an amazing faith says, I've been asking God for this for a long time, and the time still isn't right for Him, and I'm willing to wait. You see, God answers prayer, and He says, many times, no to prayer. Many times He says yes. And many times He says, wait a while. And sometimes that's the most difficult of all. That we would just say, you know, just allow God to and to hold on for the ride. And to trust Him and wait it out in His timing. And I just want to leave you with this today. It's an acrostic, and maybe you've heard of it many times. It's been taught in Sunday school classes. The acrostic for faith, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. And that means to put everything aside. That means whatever you're trusting today, it may mean that you may need to discard that. Put that aside in order to trust Christ, in order to trust God, knowing that when you trust Him, that's the best plan of anything at all. When you put your faith in the God who loves you, He is pleased. When you put your faith in the God who loves you, He responds to your faith and to your requests and to your prayers. And when you put your faith in the God who loves you, year after year, day after day, decade after decade, when you trust Him so much that you're willing to wait as long as it takes because you know that at the right time, God will provide. Then you have earned your place, I believe, in the Faith Hall of Fame. May God help each and every one of us to be in that Faith Hall of Fame. That's where I want to be. I don't know about you. To be in the Faith Hall of Fame. Father, we thank you. And we praise you today for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, it's through faith, nothing else. That we live our lives by faith. And that faith, Lord, is only what pleases you. And so we ask, Lord, that we might please you in all that we say and all that we do, that you would receive the glory. And I pray, Father, today, if there be anyone here whose faith may seem shattered right now, whose faith may seem weak, whose faith may seem insecure, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would encourage that person. Help them to look to the greater heights that you would have for them. And help them to trust you no matter what. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We invite you this morning to join with us around the Lord's table. And this is a